بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We continue the explanation of Riyad al-Salihin, and we have reached hadith number 22. Hadith number 22. And this is the hadith of Abdullah bin Ka'b bin Malik, and the story of those who stayed behind in the expedition of Tabuk. And inshallah tonight we will explain the hadith. So this hadith is the hadith of Ka'b bin Malik in the story of remaining behind in the Ghazwat Tabuk, in the expedition of Tabuk. And Tabuk's expedition took place in the ninth year after Hijrah. In the ninth year after Hijrah, the Prophet ﷺ mobilized to encounter the Romans who were on the religion of the Christians. When he heard that they were mobilizing their forces to conquer the Muslim land, so the Prophet ﷺ prepared the expedition to reach them. And he stayed in Tabuk 20 nights. He stayed in Tabuk 20 nights. But he didn't see from their affairs or from their status that which would indicate that they are about to attack. So he returned. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, returned. And this expedition took place during hot days when the fruits ripened, as came in the hadith, and the hypocrites preferred the life of this world over the hereafter, so they stayed behind, and they went to the shade and to the fresh date palms and ripened dates. And the distance of Tabuk expedition was long further for them, walayadu billah. As to the believers, the sincere believers, they left with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and they were not discouraged by the far distance of Tabuk, nor by the ripened fruits and the shade and so forth. Except for Ka'b bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu and two others who remained or stayed behind, did not join the expedition of Tabuk without an excuse. And he was one of the pure believers. And that's why he said that he did not stay behind any of the expeditions which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made, except the expedition of Badr, except for the expedition of Badr. So he shared in all of the expeditions with the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam. So he was one of the mujahideen fi sabilillah, in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, except for the battle, Ghazwat Badr, the battle of Badr. He stayed behind, and others as well, not only Ka'b, because the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in fact left Medina, did not intend when he left Medina to fight the mushriks, the disbelievers. And that's why he only left with 310 plus men from Medina, because they intended to take over the caravan of Quraysh, the camels loaded with their goods which came from Asham, from Syria, greater Syria, going to Mecca, passing by Medina. The Prophet ﷺ wanted to take it over, so he left in order to intercept their caravan and to take it over. That's because the people of Mecca drove the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and his companions from their homes in Mecca and took over their properties. So that's why this was a fair booty for the Prophet ﷺ and for the believers to go out and intercept them. And there is no transgression in this by the Prophet ﷺ, nor by his companions. This is only taking some of what the mushriks took from their rights and their wealth. So the Prophet ﷺ on that day of Badr, he left with 310 plus men, having only 70 camels and 2 horses. They had little means and preparations, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them encounter their enemy without any specific appointment, because Allah wanted to execute what He intended from this battle. When Abu Sufyan, the leader of the caravan then, and he was a disbeliever then before he became a Muslim, when he heard that the Prophet ﷺ left to intercept the caravan, so he changed his caravans, he changed his caravan's direction towards the beach area, and he sent to the people of Quraysh asking for help to come and save the caravan. So the people of Quraysh gathered, and their noble ones and their leaders came and mobilized almost 1,900 to 1,000 men. And they went, and Allah described the way they left by saying in Surah Al-Anfal, chapter 9, verse 47, بَطَرًا وَرِئَاءَ النَّاسِ وَيَصُدُّونَ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. And be not like those who come out of their homes boastfully and to be seen of men and hinder men from the path of Allah. This is their intention. And when they were on their way, and they knew that their caravan was saved, so they consulted amongst themselves and said, the caravan was saved, so why should we go and fight? So Abu Jahl, one of their leaders, said, وَاللَّهِ لَا نَرْجِعَ حَتَّى نَقْدُمَ بَدْرًا. We, by Allah, must not return until we go to Badr and stay there three days, slaughtering the camels and drinking alcohol and eat and drink, and so that the Arabs would hear of us and thus fear us. That's what they said. Bataram boastfully and arrogance and with false pride. Walakin alhamdulillah, but all praise is due to Allah, the Arabs spoke of their defeat and their humiliation. That's when they encountered the Prophet ﷺ, and that was in the month of Ramadan, the 17th day of the month of Ramadan, in the second year, after the migration of the Prophet ﷺ after Hijrah. So they met, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired the angels in Surah Al-Anfal, as in Surah Al-Anfal 8:12, أَنِّي مَعَكُمْ فَثَبِّتُوا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا سَأُلْقِي فِي قُلُوبِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا الرُّعْبِ. الله أكبر. Remember when your Lord inspired the angels, verily I am with you, so keep firm those who have believed. I will cast terror into the hearts of those who disbelieved. Contemplate in this ayah, giving steadfastness and firmness to the believers and casting terror in the hearts of the disbelievers. Victory was near. terror in the hearts of the disbelievers. And firmness and steadfastness in the hearts of the believers. قال الله تعالى then فضربوا فوق الأعناق وضربوا منهم كل بنان. So strike them over the necks and smite over all their fingers and toes. The matter has been made easy for you. And so the Muslims took them, and they killed 70 of their fighters, and they captured 70 of their men. Those killed from the disbelievers in that battle were from the most notable leaders of them. And 24 of them, as described, 24 of their men were dragged, and they were on that battle of Badr. Prophet ﷺ ordered that the bodies of the 24 leaders of the Quraysh be thrown into one of the foul, abandoned dwells of Badr. On the third day after the battle, the Prophet ﷺ called for his mount and saddled it. Then he set out. So his companions followed him. They said amongst themselves, he must be going to something important. When the Prophet ﷺ arrived at the well in which the bodies of the slain Quraysh had been thrown earlier, he stood at its edge and began addressing those therein by calling upon them by names. O so-and-so, son of so-and-so, and you, so-and-so, son of so-and-so. Would it not have been easier to have obeyed Allah and His Messenger? We have found that which your Lord promised us to be true. Did you find what your Lord promised you to be true? And this is a reference to the Quraysh supplication asking their Lord to bring a painful punishment upon them if what Muhammad ﷺ was preaching the truth, remember? As in Surah Al-Anfal 8:32. So, did you find what your Lord promised you to be true? See here, thereupon Umar radiallahu anhu said, O Messenger of Allah, Ya Rasulullah, كيف تكلم أناسا قد جيفوا؟ عمر said, O Messenger of Allah, what are you saying to these bodies without souls? Do they hear? For Allah, the Majestic and Mighty says, إنك لا تسمع الموتى. Verily you cannot make the dead hear. As in Surah An-Naml 27:80. The Prophet ﷺ answered, وَالَّذِي نَفْسُ مُحَمَّدٍ بِيَدِهِ مَا أَنْتُمْ بِأَسْمَعَ لِمَا أَقُولُ مِنْهُمْ. By him in whose hand lies the soul of Muhammad, you did not hear better than them what I just said. Qatada, and he was a famous successor and a narrator of this hadith, added, Allah brought them, meaning the slain Quraysh, whose bodies were in the abandoned well, back to life momentarily, in order to make them hear as a means of scorn and belittlement, and so that they would feel regret and remorse. And this hadith is authentically reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. In another narration of this incident, there is a slight variation in the wording of the text, which follows that Ibn Umar related, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stood at the edge of a well at Badr and said, meaning the same well mentioned earlier in the narration where these bodies were thrown, "Did you find the promise of your Lord to be true?" Then he added, "Verily at this moment they hear what I am saying." Later on, this was mentioned to Aisha, the beloved wife of the Prophet ﷺ, whereupon she commented, what the Prophet meant was, "Now they know that that what I used to tell them is the truth. Now they know that what I used to tell them is the truth." Then she recited, "إِنَّكَ لَتُسْمِعُ الْمَوْتَى." Then she recited, "Verily you cannot make the dead hear," up to the end of this verse. There are some people who often misconstrue the texts of these two narrations as proof for the contention that the dead can hear, that the dead can hear. However, this miraculous circumstance in which the corpses of the slain Quraysh were made to hear the Prophet's address to them is a special case, an exception to the general rule that the dead don't hear. By a miracle, Allah the Mighty subhanahu wa ta'ala made them hear this scolding from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam only for the moment he spoke to them. And this is clearly proven by the narration, the second one which we related to you. For this hearing was said to be conditioned by the moment when the Prophet ﷺ called out to them in scorn and in rebuke. He said, "At this moment they hear what I am saying. At this moment they hear what I am saying." In fact, in the first narration, the Prophet ﷺ does not deny Umar's sound understanding of the verse's general ruling that the dead don't hear. No, he didn't. The Prophet ﷺ did not deny Umar's understanding of the verse's general ruling that the dead don't hear. Rather, the Prophet ﷺ merely clarified for Umar that what occurred at Badr was a divine miracle and therefore an exception to the general ruling of the verse. And since we are talking about this subject and it often comes, there is another narration as well which is often quoted by those who believe that the dead can hear. And this is the following narration. And this is in Bukhari and Muslim. From the hadith of Anas, أَنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَالَ إِنَّ الْعَبْدَ إِذَا وُضِعَ فِي قَبْرِهِ وَتَوَلَّى عَنْهُ أَصْحَابُهُ إِنَّهُ لَيَسْمَعُ قَرَعَ نِعَالِهِمْ إِذَا انْصَرَفُوا Then أَتَاهُ الْمَلَكَانِ. To the end of the hadith, Anas bin Malik reported that Allah's Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, after the deceased is placed in his grave and his companions, meaning his friends and those who attended the funeral, etc., turn to leave, he hears the shuffling of their feet, the shuffling of their feet as they walk away. Then there comes to him the two angels. So some people take this to be a valid evidence for the general claim that the dead can hear. However, this narration only specifies another exception to the general rule. Another exception. In this case, the deceased hears the shuffling feet of those who attend his funeral as they walk away. And this is a momentary possession of the faculty of hearing, which is terminated
at the point at which the two questioning angels come to him. So this is again momentarily. And therefore this clear understanding is also supported by the fact that the companions never went to the Prophet's grave or to the righteous graves and called upon them for any kind of help or even a conversation whatsoever. And it's abundantly therefore now it is clear that the deceased generally do not have the faculty of hearing because they are in this barzakh life which separates our world from theirs, and it is the partition between this life and the hereafter. And this also refutes the claim of those who go and petition the dead for help. And this kind of petition is shirk. And therefore, their argumentation is refuted and cannot stand. And people should be aware of this. And they often quote these narrations in order to confuse people and then justify for themselves the conversations and the petitions they make for their so-called righteous and awliya. And in the practice of the companions in itself alone is the practical refutation to them, because the companions never did this. And they cannot be better than the companions in their understanding of the deen and of what is right and what is wrong from these practices. فَالْحَمْدُ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save the ummah from these deviant shirk ways and mysticism. So, in that battle of Badr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave victory to the Prophet alayhi salatu wassalam and to the believers. Allah referred to this in Surah Al-Anfal in chapter 8, verse 41. يوم الفرقان يوم التقى الجمعان يوم الفرقان يوم التقى الجمعان. This is the day of criterion between falsehood and truth. يوم الفرقان إذ يوم التقى الجمعان يوم الفرقان يوم التقى الجمعان. The day of the criterion between right and wrong, the day when the two forces met, the battle of Badr, and Allah is able to do all things and contemplate the power of Allah and the ability of Allah Azza wa Jal on this day. 310 plus men had victory over almost 1,000 men with perfect preparations and stronger plans. And those had few in number and few in preparation, few camels, two horses. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave victory to them. And Allah referred to this 310 plus. Allah referred to this in Surah Al-Imran in 3:123. وَلَقَدْ نَصَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ وَأَنْتُمْ in 3:123. In Surah Al-Imran, وَلَقَدْ نَصَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ بِبَدْرٍ وَأَنْتُمْ أَذِلَّةٍ. and Allah has already made you victorious at Badr when you were a weak little force. So fear Allah much that you may be grateful. On the other hand, when the Muslims, when they opened Mecca and left with 12,000 facing the tribes of Hawazin and Thaqif, Muslims became proud of their numbers, but they were defeated by 3,500 men of their enemies. The 3,500 defeated the 12,000 who were led by the Prophet ﷺ, because they became proud of their strength and that they would not be defeated because of being few in number. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed them that their numbers are of no avail to them. So 3,500 of their enemies defeated the 12,000 men led by the Prophet ﷺ, because they became proud of their numbers. قال الله تعالى about this in Surah At-Tawbah, chapter 9, verse 25. ويوم حنين إذ أعجبتكم كثرتكم فلم تغن عنكم شيئا وضاقت عليكم الأرض بما رحبت ثم وليتم مدبرين. And on the day of Hunain, the battle, when you rejoiced at your great number, but it availed you not, and the earth vast as it was straightened for you, then you turned back in flight. You know what happened to the people of Badr? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looked at those who witnessed Badr and said, اعملوا ما شئتم فقد غفرت لكم. O people of Badr, do what you like, for I have forgiven you. Every sin that occurred from them was forgiven because the price had been paid in advance. Because the price had been paid in advance. This Ghazwa of Badr became the cause for all good. Even in the story of Hatib bin Abi Balta'a, when the Prophet alayhi salatu was salam sent Ali bin Abi Talib with Al-Zubayr and Al-Miqdad, and this is in Bukhari and Muslim, and we can take the Bukhari's narration, volume 5, hadith 572. When Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu was sent with Al-Zubayr and Al-Miqdad, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam told them, proceed till you reach a place known as Rawdat Khakh, where there is a lady carrying a letter, and take that letter from her. So Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, so we proceeded on our way with our horses, galloping, till we reached the Rawda, that place which the Prophet ﷺ specified. And there we found the lady and said to her, take out the letter. She said, I have no letter. In this letter, as we will know, there were some news being related to the disbelievers in Mecca concerning the Prophet ﷺ and his preparations. So she said, I have no letter. We said, take out the letter or else we will take off your clothes. So she took it out of her braid and we brought the letter to Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The letter was addressed from Hatib bin Abi Balta'a, may Allah be pleased with him, to some pagans of Mecca, telling them about what Allah's Messenger intended to do. So Allah's Messenger said, Ya Hatib, ma hadha? He said, O Hatib, what is this? قال يا رسول الله لا تعجل علي. He said, O Messenger of Allah, do not make a hasty decision about me. A hasty decision about me. إني كنت امرأ ملصقا في قريش. I was a person not belonging to Quraysh. But I was an ally to them from outside. And I had no blood relation with them. And all the immigrants who were with you have got their kinsmen in Mecca who can protect their families and properties. So I like to do them a favor so that they might protect my relatives. وَلَمْ أَفْعَلْهُ ارْتِدَادًا عَنْ دِينِي. Listen please. وَلَمْ أَفْعَلْهُ ارْتِدَادًا عَنْ دِينِي وَلَا رِضًا بِالْكُفْرِ بعد الإسلام. I did not do this to renegade from my religion, from Islam. Nor did I do it to choose heathenism after Islam or kufr after Islam. Allah's Messenger said to his companions, أما إنه قد صدقكم. As regards him, he, Hatib, has told you the truth. Here Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, Ya Rasulallah, da'ni adribu unuqa hadha al-munafiq. O Messenger of Allah, allow me to chop off the head of this hypocrite. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responded, Innahu qad shahida badra. Allahu Akbar. إنه قد شهد بدرا وما يدريك لعل الله اطلع على من شهد بدرا قال اعملوا ما شئتم قد غفرت لكم. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, He, Hatib, has witnessed the Badr battle, meaning fought in it. And what could tell you, perhaps Allah looked at those who witnessed Badr and said, all the people of Badr, do what you like, for I have forgiven you. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this surah, this verse in this surah, surah 60 and verse 1. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَتَّخِذُوا عَدُوِّي وَعَدُوَّكُمْ أَوْلِيَاءَ تلقون إليهم بالمودة وقد كفروا بما جاءكم من الحق إلى قوله فقد ضل سواء السبيل. Oh, who you believe, take not my enemies and your enemies as friends, offering them your love, offering them your love, even though they have disbelieved in that truth, meaning Allah and His Messenger and the Quran, which has come to you, to the end of the verse. And whosoever of you Muslims does that, then indeed he has gone far astray away from the straight path. And Hatib was from the people who fought the Battle of Badr. Now, concerning our story, so Ka'b mentioned that he did not share in the Battle of Badr. Then he, Ka'b, mentioned his allegiance the night of the Aqaba in Mina, where they gave the allegiance to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam upon Islam. And he said, إِنِّي لَا أُحِبُّ أَنْ يَكُونَ لِي بَدَلَهَا بَدْرٌ. I witnessed the night of the Aqaba with Allah's Messenger when we pledged for Islam, and I would not exchange it for the Badr battle, although the Badr battle is more popular amongst the people than it, meaning Al-Aqaba pledge. Why? Because the pledge of Badr, the pledge of Al-Aqaba, as we know, was a great one. But he mentioned that Badr was more popular amongst the people, and it became famous, and this was not the case as with the pledge of Al-Aqaba when it compared to Badr. Nevertheless, he is comforting himself. He's trying to comfort himself that since he missed the Battle of Badr, he witnessed the pledge of Al-Aqaba. May Allah be pleased with him and with all the companions. He says, describing himself in this hadith, that he was never healthier and more strong than these times when he, than the time when he stayed behind and did not join the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in the Ghazwa of Tabuk. And he prepared. He said, I had never been stronger or wealthier than I was when I remained behind the Prophet in this Ghazwa of Tabuk. By Allah, never I had two she camels before, but I had them at the time of this Ghazwa. And it was from the habit of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam that when he intended to make a Ghazwa, warra bighayriha. He used to hide his intention by apparently referring to different Ghazwa or showing different preparations, till it was the time of this Ghazwa. Meaning that the Prophet ﷺ, because of his wisdom in battles and in battle plans, in wars, in the battles of jihad, he would make it appear as if he was preparing to move in a certain direction and then change. Meaning that if he intended to go south, he would make a different direction, as if he would move and mobilize in the direction of the north, so that the people see as if he's going north. Or if he intended to go to the east, he would hide the intentions and the preparations as if he would make it seem that it was going west, so that the enemy does not discover his plans, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Except in this battle of Tabuk. Except in this battle of Tabuk, the Prophet ﷺ made it clear, and his intentions and his direction for all of his companions. Why? Because first, it occurred at the time of intense heat, when the fruits were ripened, and when people, you know, the peoples are more inclined to be lazy and sit. Secondly, because there is a far distance. Tabuk is a far distance place, distant place from the Medina. And there will be hot, it will be hot, and it will be sunny and sand and so forth. Thirdly, the enemy is also great in number, meaning the Romans. And they gathered in huge numbers, as came the news to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So he made its case known, and that he informed that he was going to Tabuk to meet an enemy who is well prepared, and to a distant, far distant place, so that people begin to prepare and get ready for the expedition given the conditions. So the Muslims went with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and no one stayed behind except those hypocrites. And the three men, the three believers, Ka'b bin Malik, and Murara bin Rabi' and Hilal bin Umayyah, radiyallahu anhum, may Allah be pleased with all of them. They were from the pure believers, but they changed. They rather stayed behind for a matter which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intended. The others were hypocrites, pure hypocrites. We seek refuge in Allah from that. So the Prophet ﷺ moved with his companions, and they were many, in the direction of Tabuk until he reached it. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not make an encounter with his enemies. He stayed 20 days in that place, then he left without indulging in any war. So he says, Ka'b bin Malik, إِنَّ رَسُولَ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ تَجَهَّزَ هُوَ وَالْمُسْلِمُونَ وَخَرَجُوا مِنْ مَدِينَةِ The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم prepared, and the Muslims as well, and they left the Medina. As to him, he stayed behind, and every day he will go to his camels, and he says, I should prepare and move, but doing nothing. Then every day doing the same, until he became late, and he missed. And in this there is evidence, that the person must hasten to do the righteous deeds, otherwise he may be deprived of them. The person must hasten to do the righteous deeds, otherwise he may be deprived of them. You see, I kept delaying it every now and then till the people got ready, and Allah's Messenger and the Muslims along with him departed. And I had not prepared anything for my departure. And I said, I will prepare myself for departure 1 or 2 days after him and then join them. So this is the evidence that the person should hasten in doing the righteous deeds, otherwise he may be deprived of them. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah Al-An'am chapter 6 verse 110, وَنُقَلِّبُ أَفْئِدَتَهُمْ وَأَبْصَارَهُمْ كَمَا لَمْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِهِ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ وَنَذَرُهُمْ فِي طُغْيَانِهِمْ يَعْمَهُونَ. And we shall turn their hearts and their eyes away from guidance as they refuse to believe therein for the first time. And we shall leave them in their trespass to wander blindly. So when the person knows the truth and does not accept it and submit to it from the first time, he may miss that and he may be deprived. وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ We seek refuge in Allah from this. It is also the same in the case if he is not patient. The first time when he encounters a calamity, then he may be deprived of its reward. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith reported in Bukhari and Muslim, إِنَّمَا الصَّبْرُ عِنْدَ الصَّدْمَةِ الْأُولَى Verily the patient persevering is upon the first occurrence of the calamity, when it befalls. And therefore, we must hasten to do the righteous deeds and not delay and defer them, lest we become negligent and lazy, and shaitan takes over, and your desires as well, and then you will miss. And him, Ka'b bin Malik, he mentioned that. He said, such was the case with me till they hurried away and the battle was missed by me. Even then I intended to depart to take them over. I wish I had done so, but it wasn't in my luck. He said that it grieved him. It grieved him that he walks the streets of Medina, the market in Medina, and there in the Medina, there wasn't the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, nor Abu Bakr or Umar or Uthman or Ali, and not the early ones from the Muhajirs and the Ansar, except the hypocrites, wal'ayadu billah, sitting, or someone who had a legal excuse to stay behind. And so he blamed himself. How could it be that all of these people are staying in Medina and I am staying with them? The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not mention him and did not ask about him until he reached Tabuk. And while in Tabuk, sitting with his companions, he, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, asked about Ka'b. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, أين كعب بن مالك؟ ما فعل كعب؟ What did كعب do? Here a man from Bani Salama belittled كعب and said, O Allah's Messenger, he has been stopped by his two burdas, two garments, and he's looking at his own flanks with pride. This was a belittling. Mu'adh bin Jabal, رضي الله تعالى عنه, defended Ka'b bin Malik. What a bad thing you have said. By Allah, or Allah's Messenger, we know nothing about him but good. The Prophet ﷺ kept silent and did not answer. Did not say anything. And while he was sitting, he saw a man coming from a distant, far distant. The Prophet ﷺ said, كن أبا خثيمة الأنصاري. Be Abu Khuthaym al-Ansari. And so he was. This is either an intuitive knowledge of human nature of the Prophet ﷺ, or due to his keen sight. Or due to his keen sight, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there is no doubt that he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, possessed the strongest sight and hearing and speech in everything. And he had been given the strength and power of 30 men with respect to women, alayhi salatu wa sallam. And he had been given also other powers, other than that. May Allah salah and salam be upon him. And this Abu Khuthaymah that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was referring to, he was the man who gave in charity a sa' when the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam incited the people to give charity, and everyone gave in accordance with his condition. And whenever the person would bring the charity, the hypocrites will defame. And they say, this is show off. So when they would see people coming with abundant charity, they will mock at them and defame. And they say, this is for show off. And when the poor brings the poor brings whatever he affords from the charity, he would say, إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌ عَنْ صَاعِ هَذَا. Allah is sufficient. He doesn't need this sa' of such poor man. Just think, walayadu billah, how they mock the believers from this angle or that angle. As Allah described them in Surah At-Tawbah, chapter 9, verse 79, الَّذِينَ يَلْمِزُونَ الْمُطَّوِّعِينَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ فِي الصَّدَقَاتِ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَجِدُونَ إِلَّا جُهْدَهُمْ. Those who defame such of the believers who give charity in Allah's cause voluntarily, and those who could not find to give charity in Allah's cause except what is available to them, so they mock at them. Allah will throw back their mockery on them, and they shall have a painful torment. This is the case of the hypocrite, evil upon Muslims. If he sees the people of good, he will defame. And if he sees the negligent one, He will also mock at them, most wicked of the creation. They are in the lowest level of hell. And the hypocrites in our times, if they see the people of good, and the people of da'wah, and the people who enjoin what is right and forbid what is wrong, they say, these are the harsh ones, the the excessive ones, these are the fundamentalists, these are the backward ones, the reactionaries and the like. This is all of this, this is inherited from the original hypocrites at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, and it goes until our days. We should not say that we don't have hypocrites. We do, and they have many signs. And Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah mentioned in his book Madarij al-Salikin, in the volume 1, many of the qualities of the hypocrites, all based upon clear proofs from the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. And so if you see the person mocks at the believers from this angle or that angle, then know that he is a hypocrite, wal'iyadu billah. So now we learn two great benefits now from this hadith. The first benefit is that the person should not delay doing righteous deeds. Rather, he should come forward and not be lazy. And one should remember the hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, those who come to the masjid but they don't move forward to take the first rows, rather stay behind. He said, لا يزال قوم يتأخرون. Still some people stay behind until Allah keeps them behind. So if the person trains himself to stay behind and late, Allah will delay him and keep him away behind. So the person should hasten to do the righteous deeds from the moment he hears that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala demands them from him. The second benefit is that the hypocrites mock at the believers. If the Muslims give abundantly, they say those the Muslims are showing off. And if they give as much as they are able or what's available, except what is available to them, they say Allah is suffice. He doesn't need your works. He doesn't need your charity. He doesn't need your sa'. And we know that from the hadith, which is affirmed from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, that he said in the hadith of Abi Huraira, which is reported in Bukhari and Muslim, من تصدق بعدل تمرة من كسب طيب ولا يقبل الله إلا الطيب فإن الله يتقبلها بيمينه ثم يربيها لصاحبه أي بما يعادل تمرة كما يربي أحدكم كما يربي أحدكم فلوه أي مهره الحصان الصغير حتى تكون مثل الجبل وهي تمرة أو ما يعادلها. In this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it is in Bukhari and Muslim, and we take it where in Bukhari 2491, if one gives in charity what equals one date fruit from the honestly earned money, and Allah accepts only the honestly earned money, Allah takes it in His right hand and then enlarges its reward for that person who has given it, as any one of you brings up his baby horse, so much so that it becomes as big as a mountain. In fact, the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said, اتقوا النار ولو بشق تمرة. Save yourselves from the hellfire even by half a date, meaning a charity. Rather, Allah عز وجل said in Surah الزلزلة, verses 7 and 8, فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَى. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps the reward for the righteous and for the good doers. We shall stop here because the hadith is lengthy and there are a lot of discussions regarding this great hadith. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make in what we heard a benefit for all of us. والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.